Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, language facilitators, and welcome back to my channel. If you're new, welcome aboard. This is Marcy Melzer coming at you live. And I know a lot of you watching on the replay to my channel, my Waves of Communication channel. And I'm here to equip and empower parents and caregivers all over the world to facilitate the unprompted, natural, independent spoken language that your child needs to share their wisdom and ideas and opinions and everything else that's on their mind with the whole world. And that's what I teach you to do with the strategies that I have in my books and videos here on the channel. So welcome today. I'm very happy that you're here. And today I have this topic. We're going to be talking about a really important one. And it's five reasons to decline that referral for autism eval. And we're going to be digging into all about that topic in just a second. But first, I have to ring the bell, ding-a-ding-a-ding a little bit, and thank you to my new members here on the channel. So Prathama is a new member at the training level. Liv T just upgraded to the training level. And Tina joined at the attention level. And literally just today, we have another new member. Ding, ding, ding. Shannon just joined us as a YouTube member. So thank you. Thank you again to all of you who are subscribing to the channel, liking my videos, sharing them about, because I know that the numbers keep going up, and that's because more parents are taking on the responsibility. My mission is working. I'm helping you take this on. I'm helping you make it feel easier for you, safer for you, all of that stuff, so you don't have to rely on the systems that are breaking down. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how the systems that were designed to help you, the professionals who went to school to learn how to help you, all of that stuff is kind of breaking down right now. And what's happening is parents are getting these referrals. They're getting these autism referrals. So what we're going to be talking about today, these five reasons to decline, I've got, you know, sort of a way to introduce this idea so that you can see and make the choice for yourself, right? Because I'm never going to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you why you might want to make the decision. So what I'm sharing in this video today is five reasons, first, that most children who are late talking get referred for an autism diagnostic evaluation. And then I'm going to share five reasons to decline these autism referrals. And then I'm also going to share six tips if your child has been misdiagnosed or given the autism label and you want to get rid of it or whatever, all of that. It is never, never, never too late for you to get a different result. Now, so let's get started with the topic that you all came here to talk about. And that is this idea of this, why should we do it? Should we not do it? You know, all of that. And here's the thing. All late talkers eventually demonstrate communication behaviors that are on these red flag lists. And they do this because they don't have spoken language ability to communicate their ever-evolving needs and ideas. And so remember, these children, there is no doubt that your child has a speech and language delay. If they were able to speak at the level that they need, right? They might be speaking, they might be saying some words, but if they had the spoken language they needed, you would not see these autism red flag behaviors. That is my position, okay? And the reason I have that position is because when parents use the strategies in my books and videos, they facilitate the spoken language their children need, these behaviors, these red flag symptoms go away. But until that facilitation happens, these red flag behaviors will continue because they are replacing all behaviors communication. These behaviors are replacing your child's current, the communication they need, the spoken language they need, okay? So that's the point here, is that every child is going to show signs of autism if they're not talking yet, okay? And it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of reasons why, right? But if they don't have spoken language, they're going to show the red flag symptoms. You're going to see them, okay? And so when you see the symptoms, you take your child to professionals, and this is why the professionals think it's autism. And that's because of these five reasons. Number one, late talking kids are consistently inconsistent. They speak one way with one environment, another way with another environment. They behave differently in different environments because they are not consistently impaired. They're not impaired at all. They are just consistently working through the trials and errors of their development. And that looks like a very inconsistent output. It's not going to be scripted. It's not going to be, you know, what you say coming back to you. None of that. Because the natural evolution is an inconsistent process, okay? And so if somebody's looking for somebody to be doing something all the time, they're going to look for what they are doing consistently, and they will consistently show these behaviors, but they won't consistently show their skills, okay? That's what I mean by consistently inconsistent, okay? Number two, these late talking kids will operate on their own terms. They are smart enough to know when people are testing them, judging them, evaluating them, and they're listening when they put them down, when parents talk about how worried they are, when providers use those, oh, mama, you're in denial. They use those phrases and that tone of voice, or people start crying and all of that stuff. They're listening and they're operating on their own terms in response to all of that that's going on, okay? They're operating on their own terms. They have a mind, they're using it, they're listening, and they're thinking. They're not animals, they're human beings, okay? And they get referred because people want them to behave in this consistent way, and they don't. They're inconsistent, and they're on their own terms, and they do it their own way, consistently, feverishly, passionately, even, some of these kids. Number three, the reason that most kids are get referred is because the evaluators, whoever's making that referral, develops a bias towards diagnosis. That could be your therapist. It could be whoever's taken on that evaluation role, whether you gave it to them or not. It could be the school district. It could be your neighbor. It could be anybody. They've developed bias, and they develop that bias due to number four. And this is the biggie, propaganda and pressure for early diagnosis. Even if you didn't really think you wanted it, you may have succumbed or be receiving pressure and propaganda, because everywhere you look, if you Google these red flag things, you're going to see the propaganda to put your kiddo into the system. And there's lots of it out there. And there's pressure from family, from a lot of other people to go to these evaluations. And people saw that propaganda, and that's why they are just projecting that pressure onto you. Now, number five here is that the referral's goal is group classification. And we're going to talk a little bit more about why that happens. But remember, here are just five of the reasons that this happens. And I want to talk about what's really happening in this system, because it could be one or more of any of these five things that's happening. And here is the deal, okay? Now, listen. It's not that these systems are maliciously trying to hurt you. They're breaking down on purpose because they are understaffed and underfunded. You see, speech therapists are leaving the profession in droves, just like teachers are leaving the profession in droves, because the system, the one that you're trying to navigate with, waiting, you know, why do you think that it takes 6 months to get into that developmental evaluation anyway? right? Because so many children are being referred into the system and there are not enough resources to help everybody. So that's why the system is breaking down and you're not going to get the help today in 2023 that you could even in 2019. Because the system has changed so much in that period of time. There are so many more late talking children that there aren't not enough children, that there aren't enough resources to go around. So here's what's happening, you see. There aren't enough certified registered speech therapists. These children are speech delayed, no doubt. They need, if there was a professional that could help them, it would be speech therapists, but there aren't enough of them around. They're quitting the system and the ones that are in it are undertrained. Remember, they got there. This is the other thing. If you've got a young, brand new speech therapist who's been out of school a year or two, they had most of their training during lockdowns. They did their experience on Zoom calls. They didn't work with lots of families. They were in the midst of their own struggle to try to keep this system going. And this system is trying to hire them. I know I get those every single day. I could answer an ad and take a job on as a speech therapist because there are not enough of them. Okay. And so what the system is doing, everybody, is they're trying to meet the needs of these kids that are delayed due to tech addiction, lack of social opportunities caused by pandemic lockdowns, and then all the things that go along with those things, all the delays, all the red flags, all the antisocial, all everything. And the system, the only thing they have enough of is ABA therapists, because ABA therapists can get training quickly. It's a 40-hour class. They can go get that certification. And then any clinic, they're popping up on every corner, right? You've seen them all in your neighborhood. They can hire those people or just hire anybody and send them to that training. And then that's who is working with your child every day. It's not a trained, licensed person who knows about speech development. It's somebody who just took a 40-hour training and needs a job. And they all they know is that by the book stuff. It's ABA. That's what you get. So like this video, comment below if that happened to you. You went to, because you were concerned about your child's speech delay and ended up at the end of that appointment with an autism eval referral. When you were like, wait a minute, we're not even thinking about autism. I just kind of wanted to get him into some speech therapy, right? That those days are gone, folks. Those speech therapists, they're responding to the severe diagnosis of autism. Your child with speech delay, they're going to be left behind, you see, unless you put them in that autism thing, and then they'll put them in with all those other kids where they give them the ABA therapy. Let's talk about it. I'm telling you, this is what's happening. If it's not happening to you, it's going to happen soon, or I know it's happened to someone else you know. Let's keep learning about this process and how broken it is, okay? So, first of all, you can watch this video. I just did this a couple weeks ago. There are so many non-tech causes of virtual autism that are, you know, like I said, virtual autism, whatever. But remember, what's happening, you see, is that schools are bypassing the developmental evals. Remember, schools don't have enough speech therapists either. So they don't even care if your kid gets into the appointment. They also know in the schools that parents have to wait months and months and months for these educational autism labels, and they can't wait for you to go or decide or get a medical label so that they can get their special ed funding. So they just bypassed that healthcare system, the educational one did, because they want to use this ASD diagnosis to get more funding. You see, the children with delays are given ASD diagnoses, educational autism, even if they didn't see it or get it from the doctor, even if the doctor said it wasn't autism. It doesn't matter. They need the label because in the school, if they're in the United States or Canada or any other UK, any other place that has public funding where the schools are getting, public schools are getting public funding, they need more funding for more programs if they have more kids with autism diagnosis. And they can't wait for the evaluators, the medical evaluators to give it. So they give it themselves. And you're going to see a video at the end of this where it happened to Jenna. It happened to her. Where she showed up for a meeting and they said, yeah, we've decided your child has autism. We, the educational team. with no permission even from her. So, and I just did an interview with a woman named DJ who told me that it happened in Denver in the school that she was in. She would just show up and the team had already decided that this child had autism. And that's what they presented to the parent at the IEP meeting or the evaluation or the 1-year review or the whatever group meeting where they descend on you and say, this is what we think is wrong with your child. And this is what we think your child needs. Okay. That's what these are for, is for these people to do it. And they are using the diagnosis to classify you. So we're getting into those reasons, right? Sounding more and more like, maybe you ought to think twice about this diagnosis. Because remember, the question here is who is really benefiting from this diagnosis, okay? So here they are, folks. Here are the 5 reasons that I have for you to consider declining that autism referral. And here they are. I want you to consider these things before you say yes. Number one, you can even ask these questions out loud. Number one, who is benefiting financially from this diagnosis? We just talked about how the school does it to benefit school. It's not, you know, again, just asking who is benefiting financially. And they'll say, oh, no, we're nonprofit, we're this, we're that. But they wouldn't be able to pay those speech therapists if they didn't diagnose your kid. They can't hire more of them if they don't make money, and they can't make money. And those therapists are leaving because they aren't paying them, right? Number two, who will be your child's peers? When they get this diagnosis, are they going to be able to learn from the children they need to learn from? Are they going to see and hear and listen to kids who are talking that they can learn from? Because that's what they missed during these isolated lockdown periods. Number three, what is the cost of the services you seek? And I say cost here in big letters because it might not cost you anything financially or a copay or this. It might not be much out of your pocketbook, but it is costing you time and energy. Remember, they're not going to give you a speech therapist. Not if you go through the system, not if you go through the ASD diagnosis, not this route. You're not going to get a speech therapist to work on spoken language. You're going to get a behavior interventionist. So that's what you get. That's what you pay for. That what cost is it? Is to get, you know, if it doesn't cost anything and you get something that you don't want, is that all? Then it's costing time and effort and energy because you have to drive to these appointments or you have to clean your house so they can show up or you have to stop doing or change or whatever, all of that stuff. Because there always is cost, you see, even with the strategies that I do, their effort is necessary for you as a parent to facilitate this with your child. Doesn't matter who you work with. Okay. You need to do this. You're never going to be able to give this away totally because even those therapists will give you stuff to do. They should if they want your child to see progress, like if they're in it for your child's progress and not just in it for the money, if they're in it for the money, they won't teach you anything. That's how you know the difference. Okay. What is that environment like? What is the cost? Okay. Because we're going to talk about that. And then is ABA intervention appropriate for a child? You can research all you want on ABA, even on my channel, but there is tons of information out there. Dig down the rabbit hole and decide if that's what you want for your child, because that's not what you went in to sign up for when you took your child who's late talking into the doctor. And number five, are you missing the true cause of symptoms, right? So remember, we just talked about that last video that I showed you was all those root causes. But you see, when the children receive the ASD diagnosis, the process of service delivery starts with behavior training. Remember, they don't have a speech therapist to give you. All they have to give you in the budget, in their availability, in the humans available in their office is an ABA provider. That's all they've got. The speech therapist got a waiting list 1,000 miles long if she doesn't quit by next month and they have to hire a new one. Okay? So it starts always with behavior training. So the provider who is not trained in speech development can't earn your child's compliance, because without your child's compliance, using those bribes, they call them reinforcers, but that's what they're using them for, is to bribe your child to sit and respond with these prompt-based nonverbal situations, nonverbal communication, matching, do this, all of that. If you've been in it, if you started it, you know that it doesn't start with speech. It always starts here with these behaviors, with your speech delay kids sitting in a chair matching things or imitating behaviors, okay? And this is a video on my channel. The links for all the videos that I'm recommending from my channel are in the description of this video, by the way. And that's it, where the value. And thank you, by the way, to all of you for sharing my videos. More parents and caregivers worldwide are seeing the value of learning to become natural language facilitators. And I just want to thank you for that. I have never seen so many shares as I have since I started producing information about virtual autism, second guessing the system, and empowering parents. I see more parents sharing it with their spouses, sharing it with their mom, sharing it with their daycare provider, sharing it, whatever. So thank you. Thank you so much. And because these strategies work for everybody on your team, that's why people are sharing them, because it makes sense. This is something that happens everywhere in every bit of every child's life. So thanks for sharing. I really appreciate that. Let's move into the next part where I'm going to be sharing with you 6 tips has already been misdiagnosed, meaning they got the autism label and you don't think they need it, deserve it, should have it, meet the actual criteria. It was given under false pretenses. Your child didn't pay attention in the evaluation. You know why they were misdiagnosed, because you're helping them make improvement and the therapy, whatever. Okay. So number one, realize that you requested this diagnosis, even though it was somebody who suggested you go get it. You signed that authorization, you took it on, you took it, okay? So you have it, you have it. Don't dwell on it, move forward. You requested it, you got what you wanted. Maybe now you're not happy with it. So you accept now that it's gonna stick with your child until they pass every test independently. And look, once they get the diagnosis, someone I met when I was in Dubai, an occupational therapist, told me that it's like falling into a bucket of crabs, right? They funnel you right down into that autism spectrum bucket, which is this big bucket of this spectrum of symptoms that your child shows or not. And they just keep dragging on those symptoms. Yeah, but he's got this symptom and this symptom and this symptom and this symptom and this symptom. And they're always focusing on the negatives, because it was symptoms that got your child into the bucket. When you were focused on symptoms, that's the bucket of crabs. See, when you focus on your child's abilities, they're always climbing up the ladder. They never fall down into something that always causes them to second guess and doubt, and remind them, remember the law of attraction, focusing on what the child's not doing yet and how to make them do that thing they're not doing yet, instead of looking to see their ability and helping them elevate through that ability. Okay, these programs are not focused. ABA is not focused on your child's ability. They're always focused on what they can make the child do fastest, the easiest thing the child can do, so they can get more ticks, more data. Because the more your child does and they can write down ticks, the better they look. And the more they can justify the money from the insurance company or the government or whatever else who's paying them. And remember, if they're pressurizing you to come in more time, it's because the more you show up, the more money they make. If you miss an appointment because your child's sick, or you go on vacation, or you decide you want to take a break, now suddenly, how are they going to pay those therapists? Because they've got to hire one for your child because they're seen 6 hours a day one-on-one by a person. And if your child doesn't show, what's that person supposed to do? How are they going to make money? How are they going to pay them? They can't. So that's why they'll come to your house when your child's sick. They'll come to your house, like, they'll pressure you to do this stuff. Once you get this diagnosis, they consider your child to be impaired. And however you got it, for whatever reason you got it, to get in the therapy, to get in the system. Remember, what you're getting into is ABA that assumes your child has autism. That's what you get, okay? So they're going to keep it as long as you keep them in those environments. So unless you teach them differently, the ABA people will make your kid look more and more autistic, because they make more and more money the more and more your child looks autistic, and they don't even realize that they're doing it. Okay. But you do. You can see it. Number three here is to ask questions about the specific information models and recommendations that are recommended and used. Okay. So if they say, this is how we do things here, this is how we do, you ask questions about why they do things here and what is the evidence or blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then when you ask them those questions, you can watch this video right here with the link in the description that has signs that autism and ABA will fail your child. So like I said, once again, this is all about you making the decision about accepting or declining these recommendations. You're going to get these recommendations, everybody. Do not give away your primary influence to professionals who are biased, okay? You do not need to enroll your child or continue, even if you already got in there, even if you already have an IEP, even if you already have been to the evaluation, if you spent hundreds or thousands of dollars to get into this program, you start to see it cause you, it's not what you want. They're starting to treat your child very autistic-like, your smart, intelligent child, right? You can refuse. And number five is seek a second opinion from a provider who offers alternatives to pictures, tablets, and ABA. Because all those speech therapists who are leaving, it's very interesting nowadays. I'm getting a lot of contact now from therapists and providers and caregivers, teachers who left the system, who cannot teach in public school anymore. They don't feel safe there. They don't feel comfortable there. They're not making any money there. And parents are looking for help. Parents want an alternative. So there are providers all over the world who are shifting out of these systems and developing alternative systems. Homeschool groups, home therapy groups, parent coaches, educational coaches, people like me who facilitate parents to get all of the speech that they need, all the speech that they need. Okay? So here's a good question that just came in. My question is about virtual autism kids. How long do symptoms go on for? How can I help my three-year-old get to sleep through the night? And also, do VA have gut problems? All right. So all those questions are, you know, things that I can respond to in coaching, right? All of those things. Because all of these things are highly individualized. I can't tell you how long symptoms are going to go on unless I do a video analysis and I see and I understand your child's history and I understand what you have done so far, what changes you have made, how quickly did your child make changes, right? How are they different now than they were when you started? What did you do differently? What have you left behind? Right? Besides just taking tech away, because your individual child, the one I'm talking to and the one who made this comment, you will see a difference in your child, but it will be different than every other mom or every other dad sees because your child is unique. The reasons they're late talking are unique. Your environment is different. Your mindset and personality is different. The answers to all of these questions can be found through your own activities. How long will your symptoms go on for? You can evaluate how quickly your child makes changes if you are watching. If you're using my workbook, for example, if you're using my workbook to document your process every day and your child's levels every day, you'll see exactly how the process goes like this. It goes up and up and up. It might be wavy. You might see dips now and then. But then again, if you are focusing on your child's symptoms, mom life, you need to watch that law of attraction video because you're just looking for solutions to this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem and not being the facilitator to help your child move forward. Those problems will be solved as you get going. Do they have gut problems? What are you focused on here? You're not focused on what you're saying, what you're talking about on this channel. We don't look at the physiological. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not a chemist. All I know is how to activate neuroplasticity in any child. No extra supplements needed except for a healthy diet, lots of nice sunshine and activity outdoors that all humans need. That's the only thing I think these children need, plus your time and energy to not focus on things that are not this stuff, right? That's what this autism evaluation does. It just takes the focus away ABA takes the focus away from what a child can do. If you want a child to sleep through the night or eat or go potty in the potty or make friends at school, these are things that you have to systematically facilitate, train, teach your child. That's how they will learn these things. And if you're looking for guidance on how to do that, you can hire me as a coach. Or you can join my membership and look at all those videos because they're all in playlists. There's a potty training playlist. There's sleeping playlist. There's, you know, videos. All that stuff is in there. Okay, folks? All right. Let's get back into this because these things are super important for you to consider, right? Remember, so if you're refusing to enroll your child in intervention you don't agree with or taking them out of it, seeking second opinions. And then number six is just to help your child gain skills at home. That's what we're talking about here. What are you doing to help your child gain skills, not stop symptoms? And if the skill you want is sleeping through the night, so here's another video in the subscription, six strategies to try before autism diagnosis. These are easy things, things like talking more slowly, things like focusing on your child, following, getting in the zone, you know, easy stuff to do that if you're focused on other stuff, if you're focused on whether your child has autism or not, whether their symptoms are going away or not, they're going to keep their symptoms until they pass every single test. If you got that diagnosis from someone, even if you made it up yourself and you think it's virtual autism, why do you think it's still virtual autism and not just a regular developmental delay? Okay? Because if it's just developmental delay and you're calling it something, just call it developmental delay and teach your child what they need. They are behind. Of course they are. You wouldn't be watching this video if they weren't. But getting them diagnosed and sticking them in ABA, is that going to solve your problem? I posit it isn't. It isn't going to solve your problem. It might make your child do some things that they weren't doing before. That's what it's designed for, to make your child look more normal than they do right now. Sleep through the night. Do these things. You can hire an ABA therapist to systematically teach your kid how to sleep. They got all kinds of programs. That's what they call it. I'm doing all these air quotes with my fingers because this is the terminology used by this system to manipulate you into buying into it. Yeah, we can facilitate that. Give it to us until you're not doing anything at home and the child isn't making progress at home. And then you say, well, in therapy, he's doing great. I guess we'll have to add more hours and come to your house and see you there. It's how they get you. Right now, they're you have to drive. Now you have to have them in your house, and they're telling you that you can't parent the way you parent. You can't respond to your child when they have meltdowns. You have to ignore them, or they'll keep having meltdowns. You have to take your child's things away from them. You can't let them have free access to the things that they love, because otherwise, how will you ever get them to work? You can't give kids things without making them ask for it. Otherwise, how will they ever learn to ask for it? See, they want you to take the prompting home. And you can look at what I did last week, the video I did last week, to show you why prompting doesn't work. Okay, there's all kinds of reasons that these things will be offered for you. Because remember, they don't have anything else. They don't have speech therapists to sit and play and teach. Even the ones that you get, if you did get a speech therapist, that therapist caseload is so large. They could have 50 or more. I think my daughter had 70 on her caseload last year at a public school. 70 children that she was responsible. The only professional or even person, because if those parents gave it up to her, it was her. That was it. With all these 70 kids, how much time could she give to them in her regular school day, right? If they were getting a limited time. They weren't making improvement. And then those parents had a whole year where they gave up the job to the therapist. And I just this week have done strategy sessions with parents who coaching sessions. They put their kids in therapy and that was it. And then a year later, they've got picture systems that they're barely using and they're not using at home and they're still nonverbal and they're using all these other behaviors and it's just stuck, right? You don't want to be there in a year, folks. You don't want to trust what they say. You want to trust your gut in this way, okay? So there are strategies you can try to prove to yourself that your child doesn't need this stuff. And then refuse it. Because if you can get gains without it, that's what this is all about. No diagnosis is ever needed for parents and caregivers to facilitate development of functional speech, social skills, emotional intelligence, and academic readiness. There is no need for therapy. Parents have been teaching these skills since before there ever was therapists, okay? And you can do it too when you learn the right strategies and follow a consistent plan. But if you keep inconsistently chasing diagnoses or should I do it or not or whatever, then you will remain stuck. Now, I do want to share with you this video from Jenna.
I was given the kids I was given for a reason. I think that I was the right mom for them. And I don't take that lightly. And I'm really grateful for it. That you have more control over the situation than you think you might. There are people out there who will tell you about your child who don't know your child. And it takes a lot of spine, backbone to say, no, table of 10 experts, I'm taking my child out of your special needs preschool. No speech therapist, I'm gonna take my child home and I'm just gonna talk to him. Just like my grandmother talked to my mother. That your kids are worth, they have something to say and they're just dying to tell you. And it's okay how long it takes them because they remember and they're waiting for you to help them. And all you have to do is help them. You can help your child and your child is not broken. Your child is not broken. Your child is not broken.
And neither are you.
No.
And neither are you.
I wish there were millions and millions of people who are watching right now. And, you know, I just want to do everything I can to shout to the rooftops that, you know, you have something that will help people. Like, I can't believe I got 8.5 years into having children with speech delays before someone just, you, through a screen, sat down and told me what I needed to do to help them. And it worked almost immediately after so many gas miles, you know, so many hours and hours and all the loss of hope that I was given by all of the experts. And it was just a face through the screen who just looked at me and said, Mama, you got this, you can do it. And I'm just really grateful that you're sharing this message with parents.
Okay, so, you know, I always appreciate Jenna's candor, her emotion, her perspective, because I know this journey is not fun always. I know that it's challenging. I know that you're feeling judged. I know you're feeling confused. You sort of never know where to turn. But I also know that there are a lot of you who have sort of got it together, used my workbook, developed some, you know, progress. You facilitated this stuff. You're seeing differences in your child. And I want to invite you, if that's you, to join me for a spotlight interview, to share with me, you know, get online and like Jenna did and do an interview online that will be presented to the YouTube channel and the Facebook group and everyone else so that we can talk about what it was that helped you prompt the change that you're seeing, what helped you feel confident that it's you that's going to see the progress that your child wants, you know, and in the process of our conversation, I can give you some ideas on how to help you break through to the next level of your spoken language. And I think this kind of conversation is so helpful to parents. So, I just want to invite you, if you have been working with the platform for a while and you're interested, to share your story and get a little bit of free coaching. Here's how you're going to do that, okay? So number one, you should be subscribed to my newsletter. So you do that over at wavesofcommunication.com and the link is in the description. So definitely subscribe to my newsletter. Now that newsletter comes to you directly from my email box. So all you have to do is hit the reply on that email that you get every Sunday from my Waves of Communication email from me, right? where I'm sharing with you recap of what I talked about here this week, as well as more in-depth strategies and resources that you can use to get the best results you want. Because I know that you are prepared to invest. You have been working very hard. You've been spending time, you've been spending money, you've been spending gas miles, like Jenna talked about, to go to other professionals that have not helped you see the progress that you want. And so my job is not to do it for you, but to equip you and empower you so that you feel confident every day. You don't have to show up asking questions about, what about, should I be changing his diet and should I be doing whatever? There won't be any question about what you do, because you'll feel confident that the connected everyday activities that you are doing now, with just a few little changes, you can turn from a prompter, worrier, panicker, into a facilitator and see your child, watch them before your eyes make progress as a result of what you're doing when you learn the right strategies. Because remember, it does not take any diagnosis at all for a parent to see progress. Parents around the world are proving it every day, every day. So here's how you do it. Join the newsletter. If you haven't yet, there's a free Get Started Guide, 7-page Get Started Guide. Takes you directly to the best videos to get started, gives you some starter strategies, everything you need. And then here on YouTube, those folks who join my membership, I don't know if you did or not, but there is a secret hack for 20% off your first month's YouTube membership that also is in the link of this video right here. And my books are here always. You can access them on Amazon worldwide and at wavesofcommunication.com. There's a link so you can find it in case you can't find it on your Amazon. Yeah, that's it. There is no need for this thing, this expensive process, expensive, time-consuming, and inaccurate process of developmental evaluations that are happening after months of waiting on a 20-minute Zoom call and you get that diagnosis. Because I promise you, if you go for the referral, most children are going to get it. You might get the occasional one that says, we won't give it to you now, but we'll put you on a watch list. But then if you take your child to the school, the watch list alone is enough to get that educational diagnosis. So you can't avoid it unless you decline it. You see, it's going to be presented to you. The recommendation, the offer, if your child isn't talking yet, especially if you've seen, let's say, 5 or 6 of those red flag symptoms, even if they don't happen all the time, if they ever happen, your child will get the red tick. Those credits about it. You'll get the diagnosis if you want it. There is no question. You'll get it. But is it worth it? Is that what you want? Okay. This is what I posit for you today. This is what I put out there for you to think about today is, what about that referral? What good is it? What helpful is it? Is it really worth it? Because it's coming from propaganda that's been put out onto the internet from people who make money. They need you to decide to do this because they don't have therapists to give you, even in the public systems. They don't have therapists to give you. There aren't enough of them. All they have to give you, and they can't make you wait, not in the US, because parents have filed lawsuits and they can't wait for therapy. If your child gets an IEP, they get services now. And if they don't have a therapist to give you, they're gonna give you autism ABA stuff, because it's evidence-based and they can get away with replacing what they don't have with this stuff. And that's what you end up with, okay? If that's not what you want to end up with, just say no thank you and dig into the resources that I've given you so that you can prove your child you never get it in the first place, so that those symptoms go away and you just say, yeah, my child was late talking, but look at how well they're developing. Please put them in your regular class. My child's smart, their speech is evolving, and I want them to listen to everyday peers, you know, peers who are talking, peers who are good at speech, okay? And when all these kids get put together, they'll improve. But if they're all continued to separate because of these continued autism diagnoses, then it's going to keep your child delayed and they will maintain that autism diagnosis. Like I said, be prepared to keep it because you asked for it. Okay. So That whole idea of you can lose, I'll give it to you and then you can lose it. That's the bucket of crabs you're being lured into. Okay. All right. Thank you for joining me today, everybody. Don't forget to like this video and share it with your friends. Share it with your friend who's told you they got referred for the autism evaluation. Share it with your friend who's getting ready to take her late talker, who you know is late talking, to the 2-year-old visit, right? Where they're going to get that 2-year-old checkup or 2.5-year-old. They're going to get those referrals. The 3-year-old checkup, they're getting ready to go. Give this video to the mom of the kid you know in your friend group who's getting ready out of early intervention, making that transition from early intervention into the school system, right? See how quickly that autism name comes up in your child. How quickly. And make your own decisions, but I recommend you decline and get better results yourself. Thanks again for joining me, everybody, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.